Providence's financial condition is too much like that old movie Groundhog Day, where the past gets repeated over and over. The latest warning flag was waved last week by Moody's Investor Service, which tracks the credit worthiness of cities and states. The ratings agency trimmed the city's outlook to negative, citing weak cash flow and Providence's pension and health care liabilities. The Moody's analysis came on the heels of a state auditor's report in October that waved another big red flag about Providence's finances, noting that it has run deficits in five of the last 7 years, despite the state law that requires balanced budgets. Sadly, not much is new here. Our capital is a storied American city, steeped in a history that harkens to colonial times. Providence has some of New England's top hospitals, colleges, parks, museums, and houses of worship. All these grand nonprofit institutions draw thousands to the city every day. They provide well-paying jobs and generate sales taxes that flow into state coffers. What they don't yield is property taxes at anywhere near the rates levied on homeowners and businesses. And don't even start a conversation with a Providence resident about the car tax unless you're ready for an earful. Providence isn't, of course, all pretty campuses and fancy downtown office buildings. Abandoned houses and buildings litter our poorer neighborhoods. An iconic downtown building, the Industrial National Building, known locally as the Superman, stands empty, a glaring reminder of what once was New England's tallest skyscraper. Rhode Island's largest city is also host to crime-pocked neighborhoods, potholed streets, and poorly performing schools. And the city's finances have been precarious for years. Former Mayor Angel Taveras and the city council not so long ago seriously pondered a Detroit-style municipal bankruptcy. This isn't the fault of either Alorza, who hasn't been mayor for even a year, or the council. Moody's referenced a stark fact that $1 in $4 spent in operating funds went to the legacy costs of debt payments, pension contributions, and retiree health benefits. A budget built on such a flimsy foundation is not sustainable. Everybody with a stake in the city's future knows this. The problem with Alorza and the council is the lack of urgency. Alorza has been a sincere champion of the arts and education. He's been on trade missions and speaks often of growing the economy. And he's been involved in negotiations over moving the Pawtucket Red Sox to the city. The mayor and the city council president, Luis Aponte, also floated plans for a new trolley system, and the mayor has become ensnarled in a bitter joust with the firefighters' union, a process blemished by confrontation instead of negotiation. What's needed at City Hall now is a focus on finances. Alorza owes it to his city and state to publicly and loudly address these challenges. The mayor's trained as an accountant and lawyer, so he knows there are few routes to solvency. City Hall either has to cut expenses, raise taxes, or harvest more money in state aid or in payments in lieu of taxes from the nonprofits. The mayor's spokesman, Evan England, says the mayor is working on an action plan to be released after the holidays. Aponte talks about better financial management, but he and his council colleagues go their merry way, loading up the city payroll. Exhibit A is the recent hiring of a former councilwoman at a $60,000 a year job as a liaison to the city clerk's office. Ballparks, trolleys, arts festivals, and growing the economy may be great goals, but without the money to pay the tab, none of these things are ever going to happen. And what business wants to move to a city perpetually on the brink of bankruptcy? It's well past time for the mayor and council to get working to improve the city's finances. There really is no alternative for our glorious, struggling capital.